trying to remember which historic character it was who, in order to speak clearly, filled his mouth, or at least put numerous marbles in his mouth so that he would be able to learn to speak clearly. Well, I only have one Hall's cough drop in. And it's for the Montgomerys and the Spencers. If something, you know, hits, that's probably what it is. Actually, what I do is tuck it up. I tuck it up in my upper lip. One time I tucked it down here, but then that reminded me too much of guys who dip snuff, and I didn't like that, so I put it up here. And so hopefully it'll stay there. Oh, boy. You just never know, do you? Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I began the series here on the believer's love, our love. Of course, when we look at our love, it is so intertwined with God's love. We wouldn't have love if it were not for God's love. And so much of what we know about our love comes by what we learn about God's love. But last time we saw that God is the source of love. And one reference that I'd like us to look at again is 1 John, because last time what I emphasized was that love is more than just words, and it's more than emotions, feelings, that it is actions. And in 1 John chapter 3, and verse 16, John makes that really clear. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. God's love demonstrated in doing something. Not just saying he loved us, but he did something. He laid down the life of his son. Well, he said he laid down his life, which we know was in Jesus Christ. But it says there, the love of God, okay? And there's a great verse for the deity of Christ. And because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? John just cannot conceive of how a person can say that God's love is in them when they're not doing what they can do to help someone else. Then verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love is action. It's in the acts that we do. Now, Christ's love is the standard. All right? When we talk about love, we compare it by the standard of Jesus Christ. First scripture we're going to look at is in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Christ's love is the standard. You say, well, now the word love isn't in there. Do we really have to explain that the matter of being kind and tender-hearted and forgiving are acts of love.
Yes, sir.
Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Yes,
we would say that when God for Christ's sake forgave us, he showed us love.
Yes, sir.
And then chapter 5, verse 2, and he says, and walk in love. Well, let me do 32 again and pretend there was no chapter break there. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore,
yes, sir,
followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. So you see, the things he says that he did in verse 32 indeed are confirmed with 5:2, as actions of love, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Christ's love is what we measure our love by. Love is connected to actions. It's connected to possessions. It's connected to attitudes. So we have actions, possessions, attitudes. Now we're going to see that in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we're looking for verse 27. Luke 6, 27. We're going all the way over to verse 38. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you, and unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Don't ask for them back. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. There's our golden rule. For if ye love them which love you, boy, this is something here, this verse. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? Now he's not saying that we shouldn't love those that love us. But in today's terminology, big whoop. Okay? I mean, doing that is easy. I mean, that it's not difficult to love somebody who loves you. For sinners also love those that love them. So you see, this isn't something that gains us great big credit. When I love Dale, Dale loves me. Now that's good. And that's good to have that relationship. But you know what? His unsaved neighbor that was a guard in the one prison, he does that.
Yes, sir. That's right.
With people that he gets along with. And so we get no special pat in the back.
Good.
Now, the reason I'm hesitating is because I don't want that in any way to diminish the significance of loving each other.
That's right, yeah. Sir.
But what he's stressing for us here is that to the person that doesn't love us, verse 33, and if ye do good to them which do good to you, What thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much gain. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Given, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now listen, we can't do this. We can't do that. This is beyond our ability. Whether the actions, the possessions, or even just the attitude, it's beyond our natural abilities. Now, I think, opinion here, I think there is due consideration that we have a responsibility for what resources we have. We have a responsibility to be good stewards, to manage the possessions we have. And the concern we would have, which, again, my opinion, I believe is a valid concern, and that is that we not be taken advantage of, and that we don't help foster the mentality that a person doesn't have to work and somebody else will always just take care of them.
That's right.
Well, they're a Christian, so I can go to them and they can't refuse me. Somewhere, somehow, there's a balance between what I just expressed and what we read here.
Yes, sir.
And if I was smart enough to be able to explain that, well, I'm not. Okay? I guess is what I simply can say. Because if you were to look at this in the humanly ultimate sense, you could be broke yesterday by giving to people who, when you don't have any more, aren't going to care a bit about you.
That's right.
And they'll move on to the next sucker.
That's right.
Okay. Yep. Now look, what Jesus just said here is true. Now how this is applied, like I said, I'm not really smart enough to know completely how it's applied. My concern is that I have the kind of attitude and heart that when I see somebody that has need, and I may not think they're deserving of it, but when the Spirit of God prompts me to help anyway, the key is the Spirit of God.
That's
when the
right.
Spirit of God prompts me to help anyway, that I do so.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Because in my flesh, I can conjure up enough reasons why not to help anybody.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, where you balance this and how it gets balanced, I don't know. I do understand what Jesus says here. If we love those that are easy to love, oh, I always remember, wow, it was a worker in a jail. I can't tell you any more than that. And this worker in the jail went around, and I almost think it was a lady worker, and she would go from cell to cell, and there was one cell that had the vilest, crudest, and dirty, filthy, not just her mouth, but I mean her whole appearance and everything. She was just a mess. And the gospel worker would go by cell to cell, and she'd always come to that cell and would be reviled by the inmate. And I don't recall anymore all the circumstances that were involved, but what won that lady was when the worker had the inmate put her face up to the bars and she kissed her on the cheek. And it broke the hardened heart.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And it was not a simple thing to do.
That's right.
Not only week after week had she reviled her and cursed her, but she was filthy. Now the Spirit of God prompted her to do that. She couldn't just go from cell to cell and say, put your face up here, I'm going to kiss it. You know, it was the Spirit of God who prompted her to do that at that time,
sir.
And that's what God used. You know, we so many times look for ways that we can work around things. And I don't have time to go into this, so I'm going to save it for next week. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were very capable, infamously so, of finding exceptions to the rule or creating exceptions to the things that God's Word taught. And we're going to look at one of those when it comes to this matter of loving and how they got to the point where they felt that they were allowed to hate. Okay? In the very instruction to love, they came to the conclusion that they were allowed to hate. Now, hopefully that's something that'll be of interest. It's almost like before the commercial break, huh? Get you to stay and come back afterward. Father in heaven, we are grateful for your love. And
okay.
Surely, Father, without you,